Hi, I'm Dan Dunn, the host of What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, a show that mixes history, culture, politics, famous people, and booze, and strains it through the cognitive mesh of my sozzled gray matter. Join me each week as I take a lighthearted stroll through the consequential role that alcohol has played through the ages, and how it shaped key moments in history, quite literally changing the world. For instance, did you know that Thomas Jefferson started the first U.S. wine company in Virginia with investments from George Washington and Ben Franklin? It's true. And if you're wondering whose winery sits across the street from Jefferson's estate today, here's a hint. What's orange, president, and has a very good brain and the best people. I'll also tell you about new stuff to drink, trends, recipes, and other things that are good to know. And I'll chat up celebrities, along with the movers and shakers of the adult beverage world. And since this is a show about alcohol, I'd like to remind you that drinking can cause memory loss. Or even worse, memory loss. Where was I? Oh, right. Plugging my show. It's called What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. It's fun, I promise. So come on, pull up a bar stool, and let's kick it.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is comedian Andy Kindler. It's been a while since he's been on the show. We love him so much. You recognize him from Everybody Loves Raymond. He was in a bunch of things. He was in Hacks. He was in Marin. He was in Sirens. I mean, just the list goes on. I love Andy. He's a mensch. He's awesome. But before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode just for patrons every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal, where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Andy Kindler. Welcome back to the show, Andy.
Wow. I mean, that was, boy, I've never seen a certain kind of a, no, in the old days when things were more misogynistic,
right,
as opposed to today, hostess was a word.
Right. Yes.
Right.
Hostess,
but I refuse,
with the mostess.
I refuse. And people look at me funny. They still look at me funny when I go, she's a great actor. They go, what are you doing?
I know. I always said actor. Because I was like, what do you say, doctress or lawyeress? No, you say doctor or lawyer.
Stand-up comedian.
Right.
That's terrible. No one needs that.
It's so fun to talk to you because it's been a while and you're one of my favorite comedians.
It's like years,
I know.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's been a long time. And then, like, we were talking before the show started, and this isn't all why, because I think the last time you were on my show was 23, in 2023.
That makes sense. It was post, I guess, post, I can't think of it, PP or AP,
right.
BP or AP.
Before pig or after pig.
Right.
So, you know, of course my listeners know this all too well, but I'll just ask you what your state, like, because my state last November was fucking bad, right? I had a knot in my stomach for 6 weeks. I was terrified. You know, I was talking to my boyfriend, Bob, and I'm like, what if, you know, are we going to speak out against a fascist government? I mean, is that what we're doing? And, you know, I used to live in Russia, so I was totally afraid and blah, blah, blah. And obviously now we're kind of going in a different direction, but I just kind of want to touch on where were you and your wife when this whole thing happened. How are you dealing with it?
Well, again, it was a horrible surprise, and we were very, very depressed. And my wife is, my wife doesn't want me to be dragged away by Trump, right?
Yeah.
So she knows, and she knows that I can sometimes, it's not self-sabotage, but sometimes I can feed into it or something. Mm-hmm. And so I just decided there's no reason to, I just kind of went, south a little bit. I mean, I didn't talk about Trump at all and things because I didn't, you know, if your wife's upset that you're going to get rounded up, she might have a point.
Right.
And that's not the best way to have a, you know, that's not the bravest, but not the best way to stage a revolution. So we were very, very sick. I would say for about 6 or 7 or 8 months, a pall hung over us, a pall.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last few years, I've come to believe in God. So that's unpopular with the comic set. So I started to believe in God, but this really stretched it.
Wow. That's
But
so
you.
interesting. I would love to have a conversation with you about spirituality on another show because I'm all
Cool.
into spirituality.
Oh, that's
But
great.
yeah,
Oh,
but
that's
it's
great, I say like an
yeah.
idiot. Oh, that's great. And you're spiritual too. That's really nice.
Well, it's funny that you say that because literally from I think it's like the end of 2019, I started this call it like a spiritual journey. And I hate that word. I hate all the new age
I
terminology
think
because
spiritual should be an everyday word. It should last past all the stuff.
Yes, and it's
Yeah.
like I actually think I have figured out how we manifest. And it's funny because people think that it's like woo-woo magic bullshit, and it isn't. It's literally just about our identities and how we choose and what we believe is true, and based on that, what our choices are, and then our choices kind of play out. So everything happens in your imagination first, and then it kind of like plays out. And there it's complicated, but still, I think it's interesting that you
It
found God.
is.
So,
Yeah, the interesting thing is not the interesting thing, that's always a killer. But the non-interesting thing is that my feeling is that I've come to believe is there's so many things from 12-step programs that are just so great. So God grant me the serenity to accept the to accept the I already forgot it. To accept the
What
things
I
I
can't.
cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. What I'm doing, I have some friends, we're talking about stuff, and it's like, I do believe, and without being formally trained, because I was raised Jewish, so how are you gonna enjoy that? It's really a very depressing religion. And then, of course, then the Jews had to, and now we're all associated with Netanyahu now. But the thing is that all these things that sounded like cliches before, the kingdom of heaven is within,
Yeah,
and the whole, it
it
is true, and the idea that if I'm to the point where my feelings about Trump are ruining every single one of my days,
is true.
it starts to become on me. And for me, I've been plagued by OCD since my early 20s. I take Prozac now, which is a remarkable drug for OCD. But I can catastrophize with the best of them.
Me too. So have I. I've been able to, I've been getting out of that. That's and one of the reasons I was interested in it as well. And it's funny because there's this woman I listen to. I post her videos a lot. Her name is Angela, but she goes by Park Rose Permaculture and on YouTube. And one of the things she was talking about was, and she was reading it from, and I'm not going to get this woman's name right, Rebecca Skolnick. I can't remember her last name.
Are you talking about the one who used to be Crooks and Liars?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Schoenkopf, maybe?
No, it's
Oh,
like,
okay.
no, it's, but anyway, the whole point of this was she was saying how, and she was kind of tying it to our reaction to the fascists and what's happening. But she said, it's remarkable how many people are so quick to jump into the worst case scenario and live there in their mind instead of jumping, like when you don't know what's going to happen, right? We don't know what's going to happen. And so many people are saying we're doomed, it's over, we're cooked, democracy is dead. And like her point is, so many people are so willing to jump into that worst case scenario and live there as opposed to just jumping into the unknown where anything can happen. And you don't necessarily have to set it in stone, like we're going to get out of this. I mean, that's what I believe. But
Yes, I agree
regardless,
I agree with you. We are going to get out of it, and I think it'll be a final, the best case scenarios is going to be a final nail on the coffin of all of this MAGA, Adam Carolla bullshit of like comics, thinking free speech is just saying I hate Muslims or whatever the thing is. I think it's a real reckoning for the right wing. But of course, things go in cycles, so who knows what's going to happen. But I
But
also share your.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg did say the pendulum always swings both ways, and it does. And even though we had a break with Joe Biden as president, it wasn't like the pendulum swung back because it was, I think the pendulum includes like the public sentiment. And even though, yes, there were a number of people, 8 million more people or whatever the number was, that voted for Biden, we still stayed in that energy with the Trumpism, and that was there the entire time.
Right,
And we
right.
saw it play out in the midterms and everything, but I do believe you're right. Like I think it's getting to a point now because that first term, he had guardrails and he doesn't
Yes.
anymore. And so people had the memory of those guardrails, and of course then they forget a lot of things too. They forget 1-6 and all that crap. But yeah, I want to ask you,
They don't
okay,
even acknowledge 1-6.
no, they don't. They don't. Or if they do, it's like they come up with some fucking weird twist, pretzel twisting logic, and you're just like, what?
Yeah, and you
They
end
don't
up with
even
some,
make any sense.
and you end up with this guy Jay Johnston, who I did a lot of work with on Bob's Burgers and other stuff. I couldn't have imagined in a million years that this guy would be a MAGA guy. He's
Wow.
the guy who got arrested, and then of course
Yeah.
Trump pardoned him.
Oh my God, it's just so gross. Okay,
But
so
the
you know
only thing
what?
I really worry about though right now is I just every time I see anybody Latino looking or anything, I just realize that these people are being rounded up.
I
You know,
know.
I and it does put a, it may it doesn't make me stop me from going outside, but it does make me look around this stuff, you know,
Oh,
because I
me too.
just to
You know,
make
I mean, I'm a
safe.
woman, so
Yes.
there's that. You know, not that I'm afraid of being rounded up per se, but I do speak out. So, I
Yes.
mean, there's that. And then, you know, being a woman is a scary thing. And I think that, as we know, they're rounding up American citizens. So you don't even
Absolutely.
have to
Yeah.
be a person of color. And I think, you know, when I'm walking around my community, which is very diverse, I live in a very diverse part
Where do
of
you live?
Maryland, in
Oh,
Maryland,
Maryland.
but I'm
Cool.
like the DC area. So, I mean,
Yes.
God, everybody's here, all cultures. And, you know, it's interesting to me because I worry. I'm like, okay, I'm a white woman with blonde hair. Please don't think I'm a Trump supporter. I always, you know, feel like I don't want anyone to think
You could
that.
be accused. You could be accused just by
Exactly.
your
Just because
bona
I'm Aryan.
fides.
I look Aryan and it's like, no,
Yeah.
I'm not one of them. But
Right.
you know, but I notice around my area, really, so many people of color, it doesn't matter where they're from, what their nationalities are, or at least their heritage, everybody seems to be upbeat. And
Yes.
it's
Well,
just
it's, yeah.
interesting to me that, you know, because I get like, I worry and I look around and I feel like, oh, and I do my best to, like, even if I'm in a bad mood, when I walk into a store, I do my best to take that bad mood away and just be friendly. Because I know that, you know, there are fucking asshole white people being rude to everybody. And I don't
Right.
want to be one of them. I just want to be friendly, you know?
Yes, and you know the thing is, you just have to be careful. So, for example, I'm
Yes.
not throwing a sandwich at anybody. I mean, I love that the guy, I love that guy, and I
You
love
totally
that.
should, though.
I know, but the thing is, I know I've known the. You know, I was afraid of the cops when I was smoking pot and driving
Yeah.
up to college in 1975 and being pulled over. I got pulled over by the cops once, and I had weed, and he lined us up, three of us, and I was in the middle. And he goes, "Whose weed is this?" And both of my friends turned and looked towards me in the middle, sold me out, and then I started crying. I said, "I'm a sophomore. I'm a sophomore." And they let me go. But you know, I had so many close calls like that. Someone dropped
Yeah.
me off to hitchhike on the New England, on the New Jersey Thruway,
Oh my
to hitchhike to a Dead concert. So I did
God.
dodge many bu bullets.
So did I. I absolutely, you know, I'll just tell you this one story. And this was just because I was pretty. You know, I was young. I was like 21, 22. And I was driving through Beverly Hills and I was on my way to a mall. I was going to sell perfume. And I'm trying to
What was the name of the
remember.
mall?
I don't know. I
Oh, I
don't
think you said
remember which.
self-parking. Oh, self-parking. Is that what you said? I'm self-parking?
It was probably the Beverly Center. I
Okay,
don't
got it.
remember.
Yeah.
But either way, I was driving through the neighborhoods of Beverly Hills and just breaking every law. There were kids playing. I was speeding. I mean, I wasn't speeding, but like I was going faster than the speed limit, whatever that was. You know, so let's say the speed limit was 35. I was going maybe 45 and ignoring stop signs, just, you know, breaking every law. And then this really hot babe cop pulled me over. I mean, he was a babe. And so, and
Wow.
I was all dressed up for work, you know, and again, young, long blonde hair. And I'm just like, I think I even said something stupid, like, I was just kidding. And he looks at me and he's, you know, he goes over the situation and he goes, you know what? Today's my birthday, but you're gonna get the present.
That's so great. That is so great.
I'd say I got my looks. I mean, it didn't always work. One time a woman pulled me over and I like went into this Whole Foods parking lot because I was going to go into the store.
Right.
And I was like, you know, I was getting ready to get out of the car. She's like, please stay in the car, ma'am.
Oh,
And
no.
I was just like, but I'm going to go shopping after this. She's like, please stay in the car, ma'am. I'm like, oh my
Oh,
God, chill
God.
the fuck out.
Yeah. And
So
you're,
I
don't
didn't
forget,
always get out of it.
you're white during all of this.
I was,
You
but
would
so was she.
you these would be stories that would be told in history. You would not be here.
But I mean, I've discussed my privilege before. I have it, obviously. I did not ask for it, and I do not deserve it. Although we all deserve it, right? We all deserve it, but not everybody gets it. Okay, wait. I want to switch it over because I want
Sure.
to ask you about Bill Maher. I posted, like Bill Maher has made his career out of being a dick, and now he's whining and complaining that he can't perform anywhere because both sides are going to get
Both
angry and
sides could
attack him.
shoot me. Both sides.
Fuck him. I
He's
thought,
unbelievable.
I know. Let's just bag on Bill Maher for a little while.
Okay, well, I've known him for a long time. I was back at Comedy Central in the late 80s when he was workshopping his show. He's always been a tremendous asshole.
Yes.
Once I was at this, I was hosting, emceeing a benefit, not a benefit. It was like after my friend, our friends, Judy Toll died, and we were having a big memorial for her. And Carol Leifer was friends with her, and Carol Leifer said, says something. I was talking to my friend Bill Maher the other day, and then so I come up after her because I'm emceeing, and I said, "That's the first time I've ever heard someone use Bill Maher and friend in a sentence." He's a raging, raging asshole.
Yeah.
He's never been that good. He's not a good stand-up.
No.
He doesn't have good taste.
Mm-mm.
And he's a horrible person. Who goes to, and the fact that he keeps trying to spin how he would go visit Trump, it just shows that he's not a particularly. And I say this because he went to Cornell or something. I went to Binghamton, so he went to a better school. But he's willfully stupid. He
Yeah.
really is willfully stupid. So all the stuff he believes about anti-woke and stuff like that, he's just getting that from the right wing. He's just, it's like, or he's just a mean bastard because all the stuff he says about trans people. But beyond that, he's also anti-vax. All
Yeah.
these years, he's a conspiracy theorist type. So I just feel like this is as I said this once, and someone said, "Stop saying that." I go, "It's delicious. What's happened? Don't say that anymore, please. This
But
is
it
a
is.
delicious moment. It is
It is.
absolutely delicious." And I hope that he ends up in an even smaller club, random. You know what I mean? Like a club, like a small, like a 4x6 room where he's sweating, and he gets B-list comedians to come in.
Yeah, my dad worked for ABC News, and I guess they were interviewing him, and he was an asshole to my father. And it's funny because, there was a time I watched him religiously. I didn't necessarily like him, but I
No,
liked his
we all did,
show.
though. What you're going
Yeah.
to say, we all did. It was the only
Exactly.
show at the time that seemed like it had something going on that they could talk about stuff.
Yeah, and it's like he was a dick still, but you kind of overlooked
Yeah.
his arrogance because, he had great guests on and occasionally he did make a really good point and you would agree with him. And then he gave a Barack Obama $1 million. And so you're just like, all
That was
right,
self-serving, though.
of course it was. Yes, it's always
I gave you him.
self-serving.
What person do you think Letterman gives money to? Because do you think Letterman ever said, "Hey, my friend George Miller is very sick. I just gave $1 million to a hospital for him"? No, because David Letterman comes from, he has manners.
Yes.
He's like,
And
"I can't pay $1 million. Who cares? Who
it, oh my
cares?"
God, in ninth, no, it's 2004, I think. No, 2002. I got invited to this party. It was an A-list party in Hollywood, and I went up. What was that? I don't know where it was. It was in Beverly Hills or somewhere, right? It was in the hills somewhere. And I went by myself, which was odd, but I did. And Bill Maher was there. Everybody was there. Like every famous person in the world was there. At the time, I think it was Ryan and Farrah were there, and Heath
Ryan
Ledger.
and oh,
Yeah.
Ryan O'Neill.
O'Neal and Farrah Fawcett, and then Heath
Yeah.
Ledger was there, Bill Maher was there, and what's his name? The guy, Alan Thicke, who was like, oh my God, it's like the funniest story. He was totally undressing me with his eyes, and I did not want to look at him because I could see what he was doing, and he was wearing this cap, like a, what do you call it? Like what they wear on a boat, the boat clothing. That's just the name is escaping me right now.
Like a
But
jacket
he,
of some kind?
yeah, like the nautical. He like had the
Yeah.
whole nautical thing going, and he was totally looking at me, and it was so funny because let me just side story here. So, and then Bill Maher was at that party, so I was just going to bring that up. And Bill Maher passed me, and I remember I thought he was gross, and this was prior to my political engagement, but I remember just thinking, ew, and
Yes.
and he just walked by me, and then so years later, because it was 2004. So in 2014, Was it 2014? Yeah, I think it was, or 2012. That's what it was, because it was when Barack Obama was running, and I was the spokesperson for Rock the Slut Vote, and so, and I can't remember. I think I was watching Bill Maher, and Alan Thicke was on, and I'm like, oh my God, I saw both of them at a party 10 years ago. So I friended Alan Thicke on Facebook. And then I sent him
Oh
a
boy.
DM, and I totally am, he's no longer with us, but I said, how did I say it? I kind of worded it as if I was flirting with him. And I was like, you know, years ago we were at a party and, you know, our eye, how did I say, we crossed
Our
paths or
eyes
our
met or
eyes met or
something.
something dumb. But I just said, we never got the opportunity to speak, you know? And so I just was like really friendly. And then he, you know, and then I think I told him about Rock the Slut Vote and I wanted to get on Bill Maher. And so I said, you know, like, do you happen? I just saw you on Bill Maher. I was totally praising him and kissing his ass. And I'm like, can you tell me how to get in touch, whoever? So he gave me the producer's name. And then it was so funny because then I totally Hollywood spinned it. And I sent the producer, I was like, hey, what's his name? Who I just said, Alan Thicke, just recommended I get in touch with you. He didn't recommend, but that's what I said. And then I got considered for the show. You know who they chose?
Who?
And it was the
Ann
fucking,
Coulter?
yes, it was the show right before the election.
How did I
I was,
guess that?
oh my
I
God,
can't believe
you
it.
read my mind. And I
Yes.
was, I and so what I did, I can't believe I did this, but I chewed out the producer afterwards. And I'm like, you know what? You didn't have to have me on. I'm a big nobody and I know it, but why do you have to have fucking Ann Coulter when we have this war on women? And I just totally chewed him out.
And what
So
did he say?
he said nothing. He ignored me. So I yelled at him. So anyway, that's my little Bill Maher story. Which
He
really has nothing to
deserves
do with.
whatever the words that we have to look up for hideous,
An
sleazy,
odious, yeah.
and just poorly informed, just badly informed, and just like thinking an egomaniacal narcissist that, well, Trump had me over for dinner, so he's good.
Right. He didn't say anything mean to me at
And
dinner.
Jimmy Kimmel didn't thank me for standing up for him. What kind of a more, what kind of a crazed
Fucking asshole.
asshole is he? Yeah, right.
All right, let me ask you this one. Did you watch the Eddie? Do you like Eddie Murphy? Did you watch Being Eddie on Netflix?
No, I mean, I like Eddie Murphy, but I like him in, like, I liked him in 48 Hours and Coming to America, and I liked him on Saturday Night Live, but I have no interest. And my friend Josh said it was pretty bad. It's like a
Really?
self-serving.
Well, it was self-serving, and his house is ridiculous, but I thought it was kind of interesting.
Well, my friend Josh, who's I do a podcast with, Josh Weinstein, he's done his own documentaries, so he can be very, very critical. So a lot of times
Gotcha.
I'll be watching stuff all the time. I'll find something, I'm sure I would find something good in it.
Well, I was entertained by it, and frankly, I was actually like you're used to Eddie Murphy in the, you know, the stand-up mode, and when, you know, and when he was whatever his name was on 48 Hours, and the, you know, Reggie Johnson, I think was
I
his
can't
name,
believe you remember
but
that.
you know, but there was, he's got that la 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 la, you know, kind of in your face speaking, but then when he's just being Eddie, he's so kind of quiet and chill. It's like he's so different. And it was like, but I will say his house is fucking ridiculous because it's so big. And he's living right in the middle of like where they're, you know, it's like fire central. I would not want to live there.
It's
But
not,
I
and
thought it was entertaining. I
not
did
the
like it.
Palisades, obviously, but where's
No, it
the.
wasn't the Palisades, but he was in the hills. You know, obviously you don't know exactly where.
Well, now I'm going to watch it.
I thought it was good.
I still haven't watched one of my heroes is Paul Simon. I still haven't watched that
Oh.
documentary yet,
I didn't even know there
two-parter.
was a. I love Paul Simon.
Yeah, so I
I'm gonna
think it was a
watch that too.
two-part documentary a couple of years ago.
It was, and then okay. So now I'm asking you what you're watching. Have you seen the new series on Netflix called Death by Lightning? You've
No.
got to watch it. It's so
What's the
good.
deal with
It's
it?
about Garfield, the President Garfield, and okay, I don't know how to say his name. Is it
James?
McFadden? No, it's McFadden or Michael McFadden. Is that it? Was it from? Did you watch Succession?
Yes.
Okay, you know the guy who had to burp the toilet wine and he was married to Shiv. I don't remember his name.
That was oh, that guy who turned out to be very evil.
Yes.
on the
So
show. Yeah, I yeah.
he's in this, and so is Nick Offerman, and so is Bradley Whitford, and it's really good. And frankly, I just watched the first episode, so it's Death by Lightning on Netflix, and it was how the first episode focused on how James Garfield was nominated for president, and it was totally surprising. It was so good, and
Wow,
I know
I
you're
will
gonna
watch
like
it.
it. Yeah, you're
If
gonna
you,
like it, I
I, I'm,
promise.
and I need things to watch because if I binge something, I binge through it and then I forgot I watched it about 10 minutes later.
Well, there's another one also called The Beast in Me with Claire Danes, and that's really good. If you like thrillers, that's another Netflix series that's very good.
My problem though, is that I'm a true crime fan and not the.
Oh.
The ones I can't stand, though, and when they advertise the goriest
Yeah.
killer ever, I hate all of that.
Yeah,
I
I don't
like
like
the
the gore.
intro. Yeah, I don't like anything with gore. If the story's like, and he kept people in a basement in a jar, no, I'm not watching that. It's not going
Okay,
to
so you
happen.
did. Okay, I know this is controversial, but did you happen to watch the Jeffrey Dahmer Netflix series?
I refuse to because I cannot, I just detest Ryan Murphy. I
Really?
despise
Interesting.
him because he's taken liberties. Like he totally lied about the Menendez brothers. He totally lied about every single thing he's done. He
Oh.
just makes up whatever story he wants. And because it's not a situation like this is really, really bothered me. Like on HBO when they had those series about Woody Allen or they had the series about Michael Jackson, they never asked anybody else
Yeah.
except the people who are accusing Michael Jackson. So and you think you're watching something on HBO, you think it's an actual real thing. It is absolutely possible that Michael Jackson never touched a kid. But he was sued and sued and sued. And so it's like, I don't know how he ever dealt with it. And I'm not saying I know what happened, but I'm just saying
Right.
that it's terrible. Like the Netflix, it's not like someone at Netflix is going, okay, wait a second, Ryan. This is no good. Did you see the, what was the last one they just came out with?
No, I didn't.
Oh, Ed Gein.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
I don't mean to bring you down, Kimberly.
I don't think you could.
Okay. You like the Dahmer thing?
I did. Well, the reason I let me just explain, because I have always had this fascination with Jeffrey Dahmer, not in a way that I like him or idolize him,
I
obviously.
like way we always have to say that with serial killers. Look, I have a fascination. I'm not a serial killer. I don't personally kill people. I do not store humans
Just
in my
make sure
freezer.
you know.
Yes,
I
where you're
don't put
coming
people
from.
in 55-gallon drums.
Right.
But the thing that I thought was most fascinating about him was after he was caught and he was being interviewed, he said, this is just part of who I am. I can't get rid of this urge and I need to be locked up.
Right.
And so he didn't like that was how he was. And it doesn't diminish what he did, or it doesn't excuse it in any way.
Yes.
But like when you look at other serial killers, like Richard Ramirez, who was the Night
Oh
Stalker,
yeah, he really
he was
celebrated.
fucking like demonic.
Celebrated. Yes,
Yeah,
yes.
and he would like kind of I what's the he would not flirt, but like he would kind of mess with the cameras and the way he would look, and he enjoyed being sinister. Whereas Jeffrey Dahmer was not, he wasn't sinister in that way. Like he
Well,
didn't
you could see
enjoy
why he
it.
fooled people then, right?
Yes,
You could see
yes.
why he, yeah. I'm sure there are true things in that show, but I can't even comment on that because I haven't seen it. And I don't even know if there are the lies that are in the Menendez brother and then the Ed Gein. In the Ed Gein thing, he just made up stuff to try and say
No, I don't
to
like that. That's I
But
mean,
I
what the one thing they did, there was a movie about the other guy. Oh God, I can't remember the guy who starred in it, but it was the attract well, that was the handsome serial killer guy. What
Yeah,
was his
Ted
name?
Bundy.
Ted Bundy. And in whatever movie that they did about him, there was this scene where a dog was like sensing his evil.
Right.
And it was really effective. And then I found out it was total bullshit. And that
Oh, you
pissed me
see, yeah.
off.
That pissed me off too. But this is true that he did sit, he was in a suicide prevention center with, I think, is it Anne Rule? Anne Rule was a fame, like a famous
Yeah.
author sat next to him and had no idea. So she wrote a whole book about how she had no idea.
Wow.
You couldn't have known that he would that this is who he was. He's
Yeah.
talking people out of suicide and
That's
oh my
crazy.
God, that is crazy. So they
Yeah,
could have used something real.
there's something about the serial killers that are, I don't know, it's fascinating that anybody would be that way. And I always like wonder, like, what made them that way? What is it? Is it some, because I know in the Jeffrey Dahmer movie, they Penelope Ann Miller played his mother, and she wanted, the mother wanted his brain studied, and the father refused. And you know, I
Oh,
mean, I would
wow.
have, I'm with the mom. Like, study his brain, figure out what the fuck, maybe you can fix that, you know. I
Well,
don't
you
know.
know, I listen to all these different things, and I'm fascinated by, I love that show where it had the FBI profilers. Remember that show that was on? And so you do know that something, I mean, there are certain similarities with these people, but there's also with serial killers, but there's also a thing where you can't make a logical connection at one point because it goes beyond that.
It's something that people who don't have that, I don't even know what you would call it, disposition, character
Joie de
trait.
vivre, joie de vivre. Now, here's the thing. I remember the Manson thing because I was 13 years old when it happened. And I was so young that it wasn't like I got fooled. Oh, Manson's a good guy. But I could tell, like, he actually, when he would go, "You people are the criminals. I'm the one. You send your daughters to me." And I remember just like, so I think a lot of it did, the fascination did start with Manson, maybe, I think, you know.
I think so. I agree with you. And I mean, it's a shame. I mean, you brought up the thing with Eddie Murphy. I see a lot of documentaries right now that are just kind of like love letters to themselves, you know.
Yes.
But if I like their stuff, I'll watch it. Like, I can't remember, there was the Ben Stiller documentary about his
That is a
parents. That was a good
fantastic
one.
doc.
That was
That
a
is a
really good one.
wonderful, because he has vulnerability now.
Yes.
And so I thought that was, I've watched that twice,
Yeah.
and his sister Amy, and I really admire what he has done, because he separated from his wife, he got back
Yeah.
together with his wife. He's never going to be a touchy-feely guy like his dad was. His dad was like, loved to be recognized and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, I thought it was really Stiller and Mirror, Nothing is Lost.
Yeah, it's so good. And then the last one is, or I'm not gonna say the last one, but the last one I'm gonna bring up is the John Candy. Did you see that one?
No, I've heard
Oh,
that's
really
r
good.
really great.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he's just wonderful. And it was a wonderful documentary. So yeah.
Cool.
Okay, let's switch this up, because now I want to ask you about the Epstein files. And you know, okay, preface this with what we're hearing. You know, Donald Trump, it was like, go ahead and release the files, because he didn't think they were going to be, you know, he's like, well, there's this bullshit sham investigation that they're going to hide behind, and if they do release the files, it's only going to be whatever they choose, because they're going to keep back whatever supposedly is under investigation, which means they're going to continue to lie, and Trump's name will be scrubbed. And so I know that there are a lot of people out there who are looking at this like, oh my God, you know, he's just going to keep getting away with it, and he's just going to keep getting away with it. And my feeling, and this is what I want to ask you, my feeling is I expect that they're going to lie, so I'm not going to allow myself to be shocked or upset by it. And there have, I know earlier this year, there were 1,000 people in the DOJ who had access to those files. My employer, Allison Gill of the Daily Beans, she, you know, she put a call out to these DOJ workers, and they could speak to her anonymously, and they did. And they were basically saying that, you know, anybody could access these files. It wasn't, it was like,
Wow.
it wasn't something like it was all secure. It was like anyone could get to them. And so her story was a little interesting, because it was just talking about how they didn't mark anything. So like, okay, let's just say you're a DOJ guy and you're going through it, or a woman, and you don't know what you're going to find. So you open up the file, and then there's pictures of, you know, naked young girls with all
Right.
these men, and you got to look at it. And then you're, and I guess, you know, initially they're like, okay, look for any mention of Donald Trump. And then they'd switch it up, and they're like, okay, go look for X, Y, and Z. So then they had to go back and look at the same files that they already
Oh,
looked at and be
terrible.
re-traumatized. And there was this one man who said it was completely traumatizing to look through them, because it was just so awful. And anyway, I'm sidetracking. The whole idea here is that thousands of people have seen these files. And I believe Thomas Massie said, if we get a redacted,
Can you believe you
ridiculous.
just quoted Thomas Massie?
What?
Can you believe you just quoted Thomas Massie?
I know, I know,
No,
I
because you
know.
never would have done that before this
I thought you said
event.
called him, but I know. But yeah, and Thomas Massie's basically saying, if you give us some bullshit list, I'm going to start naming names that I know about. So I don't know how this is all going to go, but I do think that regardless of what this bullshit regime is going to show us, I think the Epstein files are still like the big fucking deal and what's going to ultimately make everything crash. And I don't think it's the only thing, but I do think it's like the heaviest thing on the pile. What do
I
you
think you're
think?
right. I think you're right. And who knows where it'll end up. But, to me, I want them to play over and over again him standing next to Epstein, making those sneering,
Yeah.
leering look, because he's a total animal, a total disgusting. I also think he's like to the point where he doesn't even know what he's doing, because he is, again, willfully, willfully, willfully stupid. So I think the fact that there's no guardrails around him is great now, if he doesn't blow up the world. But it's great. There's nobody telling him not to say in front of MBS, hey,
Yeah.
that, and a lot of people didn't like that reporter. I
Yeah.
mean, so yeah, I agree. I agree. The thing is, I've been knowing about this, and I want people to understand one thing. Graydon Carter killed an article about Jeffrey Epstein that I think it was Vicky Ward, one of these people who came out with a lot of the Epstein. So the point is, Epstein could have been stopped in like 2005, 2006, but Graydon Carter had to kill the story. And so how many things are like that in life, where you have overly powerful men who have no, don't think about, they just don't think, they don't, they've never been raped, they've never been, and so it's like they're not thinking about it. They just think that he was afraid of Jeffrey Epstein's power is what it
Wow.
was.
And so who, what outlet did he work for?
Who's this?
Graydon Carter?
Oh no, he's the president. He owns Vanity Fair.
Oh,
Yeah, he's an asshole generally. He said after 9/11
okay.
that irony is dead or something. He's just an asshole. He has those big, you see Graydon Carter has a big hair all the way up to the top of the building. Yeah. So
God. Yeah, well, I mean, I think so basically your overall feeling is that we're going to save democracy.
I don't, well, I've been guilty every, I said after he got out of office the first time, oh, they're going to get him now. I've never been right. I've never been right. But essentially, you cannot make any, when Nancy Mace herself has been, I think she was raped.
Yeah.
And these people are dancing around, there hasn't, you have to know, if they don't know that he is the worst human being in the world, then they're just refusing to look at it. They know how terrible he is, but it's their own career they're worried about
Yeah.
right now. And so, and you say, how could that happen with someone who would be sexually abused could then turn around and just allow it? It happens all the time. It happens all the time when you get deluded by power. And so I think that it's all going to fall apart. I hope, and so I think it'd be like a tremendous midterm, because my thing is, I'm a member of the Democratic Party. You know, I'm a member of the Democratic Party because I don't call it the Democrat Party, right?
Right,
So,
exactly.
I have always believed that since I was a kid and Vietnam was around, there's never been any contest between the two parties. Not that everybody in the Democratic Party is a great person, but no, but the evil, the
Right.
horrible evil that runs through the Republican Party has always been just a criminal. Greed, power hungry, amoral toads. I don't know why
Yeah,
they were
I mean,
toads, but
right
still.
there with you. I
Yeah.
mean, we always talk about, and it's true that back in the day they'd argue on the House and Senate floors, and then they would go into Tip O'Neill's office and have a drink and work it all out. Yeah, those days are over. And they've always been racist. They've always been anti-woman. Maybe not as extreme as they are now, but they have been. They've always been. And so I would certainly hope that they turn into a minority party.
I hope so.
We need
But how
that.
about
And
this? How about this, Kimberly? For years and years and years, they tried to take down, I was very, like, I didn't like Bernie's campaign because Bernie's campaign was like, I'm the only one who can solve this. He's a little bit like Trump. I'm the only one who can solve this. And now forget about Obamacare. The truth is, Obamacare saved this nation in many
Yes.
ways. It saved people I know who were on like lifetime limit type policies. And so, but on the other side, the Republicans have no
No.
plan. So even someone like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who maybe she we get into her sympathetic or whatever that thing is called, empathetic thing, where she goes, these people don't have medical care, but she doesn't know what to do about it, or she doesn't
Right.
see that it's a problem. She's still steeped in the Republican propaganda, which literally has no solution to the problem. It's totally like, hey, if you do Obamacare, then the insurance company's going to get stronger. It's always a song and dance, circular thinking. So I hope this just defeats them big time. You know, like.
Yeah, I think it will. And I think with the with Marjorie, I just, she didn't seem to give a shit when everybody else's lives were being
No,
threatened.
she did not.
And somebody made a point, maybe it was Tom Hartman, who said, for years the left hated her. And then for a few days the right hates her, and that's when she has to get security. Like, she's never had to call security
Unbelievable, right?
because the
It's
left hated
unbelievable.
her.
She's never had to feel death
Right.
threats like those
Right.
women who worked in the polls in Chicago. Oh, I
Yes.
forget their names, and just ruined their lives.
Yeah. And she had no problem doing that. And she was chasing down David Hogg. No matter what you think of David Hogg, he's a young
Yeah,
man
yeah.
who was traumatized. And so, yeah, she's horrible. And I will say, my mom and I were talking about this morning, and we were just basically saying, it's like the enemy of my enemy is not necessarily my friend, but that person is my ally. And right now, she is, working. She's not working for the Democratic Party, obviously,
Right.
but she is helping the Democratic Party by
Yes, she's helping. She don't
rebelling
have to
against Trump.
endorse anything about her, but
Yeah.
she's absolutely, you know, it's like when I really would get mad at people go, why did they talk to Liz Cheney at all? You should have talked to Liz
Yes,
Cheney. She
yes.
was part of the bipartisan movement. I could, you know, it's like I still don't know if there's some kind of emergency. They can't get the flags back at full mast, but they're still at a half mast over that horrible Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
And you know, how about this? I mean, the scary part is I just read an article. 600 Americans lost their job after Charlie Cook died by
Jesus.
saying something. And here's the thing. I have said, you know, I've been on Twitter since 2010, so I'm fairly good at just staying away from everything for a few days. But some people who would say, like, this woman lost her job because she said, you know, he talks about guns and, you know, he was in favor of guns. So, you know, he talks and she lost her job.
Wow.
So that's the horrible, thing behind this. But it's so transparent. It's Nixon never did this. He tried to hide it, but Trump's saying, I'm going to take ABC's license away. It's not going, I hope to pray, it's not going to work.
Yeah, I don't think, I just don't think it will. And there's the other thing of, like, right now, and really since last November, we have been living in this stressful kind of energetic, it's like a toxic energy. And it's upsetting, and we're stressed out, and we don't know what's going to happen. And people are worried about their social security, and they're worried about their health care, and all of it. And you add the farmers, and you just, it's one on top of the other. And then he's calling fucking women quiet piggy, and he's just being so gross.
Oh, you know, if any of that had happened 10 years ago, were there any other person, he would have been run out on the rails. I mean, it's just unbelievable that the one thing that they thought that was good about him, he says anything he wants to say. That's was always horrible, and it's worse now. You know, he is a, from my true crime experience, I would say he is a paranoid psychopath. So, and worse than that, a sadistic psychopath. He loves that he's doing things that make he doesn't even think it past. He loves that he's rounding up people. And the thing with MBS was, oh my God, it made me sick.
I know. Everything he does makes me sick. I mean, even Jeffrey Epstein in those files basically said, Donald is one fucked up guy. And I think we all know that. And then there's also the thing of his health. Hey, do you know, by any chance, do you know Dan Greener
No, I don't.
from
From what?
he's a writer for The Simpsons?
Oh, I don't know. How come
See,
I?
the
It's not
reason
Matt.
I'm asking you is because
Yeah.
it started in June where so he's like, I'm the guy who wrote the episode where Donald, or he, 15 years before Donald Trump became president, he wrote the Simpsons episode that Trump becomes president and then something happens to him and Lisa, I think, has to take his place. So he did this TikTok video in June, and then he's done a bunch of them where he's like, he announces who he is. And then he says, I am a prophet, and I am here to tell you that Donald Trump is not going to be around. I think he didn't say he was going to die, but he said he wasn't going to be president by the end of this year. Now he's kind of taking it to saying, not sure if it's going to be at the beginning of next year. And then he says, and then he makes like a big joke out of it. So he puts on like a spirit Halloween prophet costume, and he walks around and he does just silly things while he's predicting that Donald Trump is not going to be president, during this term. He thought it would be this year. He's not sure about that now. He also said that he didn't think J.D. Vance would be vice or that would be president. And I'm so curious because now I've been going to his TikTok page, and it's Dan, and then it's Greener. So it's like
Greener.
Greener.
Oh, okay. Like Greener almost, right?
Yeah, maybe it's okay. So I can't remember how to say his name, but
yeah.
And now he's saying, hey, do you want to manifest, which is funny, but do you want to manifest being Trump free? And he's kind of making a joke about that.
That's funny.
And I'm so curious to know what his deal is, because it's like, are you like getting psychic hits for real that this guy's going to be out? But you don't want to say that because you don't want people to think you're woo woo and weird and you're just making a joke out of it. Or are you just building a TikTok? Why would he say that, though? I just don't understand why he would come from that spiritual perspective, because not everybody buys into that.
Yeah, I don't know what I don't know. I mean, I think he's obviously we don't know what's going to happen, but I think
right.
the thing about Trump is the thing on his hand,
yeah,
that
and his
horrible
fat
thing. You know,
ankles.
there's no reason why he can't keel over and I am not hoping for this. I am not hoping and take it out if it looks like I am. But you know,
but
I
many
just don't
people are.
Right, and many people are saying you can't eat Big Macs every day for your whole life. And he thinks he's a big shot because he doesn't drink or, you know.
Yeah, he's
but
taking all these drugs.
Yeah, who knows
and
what the hell he's taking?
Yeah, they were talking about him taking some Sudafed situation a while back, and that he had all this Sudafed in his drawer. There was some picture circulating. I don't even know if it was real.
That Sudafed works, too, so I would absolutely believe. Not the PE, folks. Don't get the Sudafed PE. You got to go back to the counter.
Got to get that adult version.
Yes, and you have to, I need this. I really clogged up. And then you get the real Sudafed. And it's really an amazing drug when you first do it, but obviously it's like any kind of speed. You're going to, it's going to ruin you. It's going to destroy you.
Yeah,
you know?
They always do. And that's, you know, he's been taking drugs for a really long time. And then, I mean, you can just look at the guy and see, and he's falling asleep all the fucking time. And then he's got dementia. And it's clear that he has dementia. And I don't say that in a way to mock him, because, you know, a lot of people get dementia, but you can see it, and they're lying about it. And they're talking, you know, he's lying about his wonderful MRIs. Like, people get MRIs every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a doctor, there's this guy I listened to, Keith Edwards, on YouTube, who I love. And he keeps showing like a YouTube video of this doctor who works with patients who have congestive heart failure. And like, yeah, he's got it. You know, he's like, I can't diagnose him legitimately from, you know, afar, but I can look at what's happening to him and say, absolutely, these things are happening to the people that I'm treating. So and then he gives him six, well, he gave Trump, this particular doctor gave him 6 to 8 months in like June or July.
Oh my
so we'll
God.
see you know
we'll
and
see.
It's you know I live in the world, like, you know, I like to listen to tarot videos on YouTube about people predicting his death and seeing, like, you know, and if they predict it, then I save it and see if it's, you know, are they right. And I just want to preface this with, I don't give a shit about fucking tarot cards. I really don't. And if you do, I'm not saying they suck. I just don't care. I don't really buy
right.
into them.
Yeah.
But I like listening. Like, when I'm doing my work throughout the day, I just have my headphones on and I listen to people talk about Trump being sick and dying, because I like being in that headspace, you know?
Right. Right. But you know what? You know, it's like, I having done acid and all this kind of stuff and doing the I Ching and doing the whole thing of those methods is that, you know, I don't go to tarot card readers, but if it's a tarot card reader who knows what they're doing,
sure.
They're like, they are, it becomes a relationship
yeah.
between you and the tarot. But I saw on the, because my wife and I guiltily watched The Real Housewives.
So
and
do
so,
I.
okay, so The Real Housewives, the one with Lisa on Salt Lake City?
Yes.
So
oh,
they
I
have
haven't
this,
seen, Salt Lake City.
Oh, they have this tarot card reader. He's dealing them like cards. He goes, oh, look at that. And then he starts right, you know, just talking. It's so obviously fake that it actually makes me, the truth of some of these spiritual things, where you're I Ching and you're, it's all about your mind melding with the thing. And it's not about dealing them like, I'm going to play solitaire with a tarot card deck.
I've been to psychics, and I think what I like is, like, for instance, I'll tell you, one time it was March. It was 1999. And at the time I was an actor. So I used to call this woman, she's no longer with us, but I called this woman and I would just say to her, tell me what you see. Like I hadn't talked to her for a while, so she didn't know anything that was going on with me. And I'm kind of savvy to the bullshit psychics who ask you
Yeah, 'cause of the
questions and
parlor
fish and
tricks,
all that.
yes.
So I feel like, I would just be on the phone and her name was Pat. So I call Pat and I knew her and I would say, okay, what do you see? And then she would just go off and she would list all this stuff that she saw, stream of consciousness. So she told me, now, and I bring this because in 1999, I was still pursuing an acting career and she wanted me to be famous because she wanted to be like the psychic to the stars. So
Right,
she had
right.
her own little agenda and I was obviously not famous. So I'm throwing that in there because it was her point of view. That's what she wanted. So she out of the blue, she says to me, all right, you have a friend, a short friend who has short brown hair. She's going to introduce you to this man, and his initials are LC, and he's a producer. And you're going to want to work with him, but your friend isn't going to help you, but it doesn't matter because you're going to figure it out and you're going to work with him. So she tells me this in March, and I don't have any idea what she's talking about. I don't have a short friend with short brown hair. I don't know any men with the initials LC. I don't know anything. So I wrote it down in my diary and then I just forgot about it. So in June, my short friend with her fresh haircut, short brown hair, invites me to this party. And she's like, hey, it's my boyfriend's friend, and there's going to be a bunch of single men there. And at the time, I was single, and she's like, maybe you can come meet somebody. So I was like, great, I'm there. So I go to this guy, I
Larry
go to this,
Charles.
no,
Larry
it was
Charles.
not Larry Charles. And I won't say his name, but his initials were LC. And I didn't know, I forgot about that reading at that point. So I met him, and I liked him, and I wanted to go out with him. And I asked my friend for help. And she was acting like she was going to help me, and she just wouldn't help me, exactly like this psychic said. So I remembered where he lived, and I just put a little note in his mailbox saying it was nice being at your party. Maybe we could have a drink or whatever. And then he called me, and we had drinks, and then we started going out. And it was exactly, except he was not a producer; it was a romantic interest. So her interpretation of this vision that she had, or whatever you want to call it. She interpreted this guy as being a producer because it served her purpose. That's what she wanted.
That's
But
so
it,
true.
yeah, but
Yeah.
in the, playing out of this scenario, he wasn't a producer. She got his initials correct. She had never done that before with anyone else. So yeah, I think that's I love that. And I've had a couple of times where I've gone to tarot readers, but I've never felt like I connected with any of them, and it never, nothing ever stood out to me.
Well,
And so,
you know,
I'm
I
not
guess.
saying it's not real. It hasn't worked for me.
You can, I think we can safely say that 99% of the people who are advertising themselves and making money from this are absolute frauds.
Yes.
But I will, oh, I'm sorry, my phone keeps going off. Hold on. But now I will tell you a story, really quick story, that is not, I'm not writing a book about the occult or whatever, but this actually happened to me. I used to have these, at some point in my life, I'd have these dreams, like I really thought I was like a levitate. I mean, I levitated out of my body, and I saw my body from the ceiling. And there was
Interesting.
one time when I said, I can do this anytime I want, and then I lost the ability to do it. But
Yeah.
during one of these reveries, I strange dreams. I knocked on this hotel door, and the woman or answered, and she goes, "Don't forget room 431." Don't forget room 431. 3 weeks later, that's the exact time that the earthquake happened.
That's
Okay,
so
so when these things
trippy.
happen, I really kind of have come to despise angry atheists because who the hell knows what's going on? But they want to discount all magic, and it's like you know women have a more generally are can be more intuitive because they're not dissuaded from it, but we all have this thing where who knows how it happens? Who knows that they'll come? How does a mother know that her daughter is dead? Maybe years from, they'll find the neurons that fire. But the idea of saying it's all garbage, it still is 99% garbage. If you're going to like the star, and I'm, that, not that woman, but in general. But you're an open person. You're just, you're relaying a story that's true, and I don't believe it's all coincidence.
Of course, it's not. It's absolutely not. I don't believe it's Aquamans. I mean, I had what I like to refer to as a download of knowing back in 1993, where I just got this knowing. I don't know what else to call it, but I just knew I was going to meet someone. And I specifically wanted, a
Lon
romantic.
Chaney, Lon Chaney.
That's exactly who it was. But I wanted a boyfriend. So I was only 24 and I didn't have a boyfriend and I wanted one so bad. And the best way I can describe it, I was sitting in the back of my grandparents' car and my grandmother gave me a ring and I put the ring on. And I, at that moment, it just was this overwhelming knowledge. Like, he's coming. I didn't hear any words. I didn't see anything. It was just a knowing. And then I literally promptly forgot. And then it was 3 weeks later. So this happened on a Saturday. And then on Friday, I was like, and it was exactly 3 weeks. I wanted to go. I don't know if you know the Cat and Fiddle, but
Sure.
I've told this story so
On
many fucking
Sunset.
times on my Patreon, or I'm sorry, my podcast for patrons. But it was Friday, and I was like, I gotta go to the Cat and Fiddle. And it was like I was ruled by the satellite. I had to go, and I didn't know why. I didn't even think about why. I just like, I gotta go. I gotta go. And I. That particular night, as I was getting ready to go, I thought, well, I better check to make sure I have my driver's license because they card. And I didn't find my driver's license. And I was so upset because I really wanted to go. So I was laying in bed Friday night and I thought, well, maybe my license fell out in the trash in the bathroom. And there it was. And
Oh,
so I was like,
wow.
Saturday, I'm going to the Cat and Fiddle. I'm going. And I didn't connect it to that download because I had forgotten about that download. And so I went to the Cat and Fiddle that night and I met this guy who. It was him. And that's the one that I was warned, or not warned, but told in my little download, he's coming. And then there he was. And
Wow.
I mean, he was somebody who didn't last a lifetime, but he was significant. And I told him when I met him, he was my soulmate, which I genuinely believe he is one of them. But soulmates aren't always romantic. Like, I think my mom is my soulmate. And,
Right. I think you're right. I think there's so many different things going on. Of course, I'm going to do a deep dive now and discover this
We love
person. And I'm going to,
that.
where, who could I reveal it on? I have to reveal on a show of
Yeah,
some kind.
reveal the big
Send this to
reveal.
the, send this to the Congress. Something like that. Gee, I can always tell I'm closing. It's coming to the end of the interview. I know I'm going to end weak.
No, you're not. You're never weak because we love you. We love you here. And I mean, my listeners love you, and I love you. And I think I just want to say, when I watch you on social media and where you're coming from, and then obviously talking to you, it's the same. It's you are a genuine person and you care.
Well, you are too, and I think
Oh,
that's what
thank you.
attracts us to each other is like like-minded people do like meet.
Yes.
I mean, we're not, maybe we are soulmates,
Maybe
but
we
the thing
are.
is, but it's just you, that's what we gravitate towards each other.
I agree. I totally
Honest
agree.
people.
Yeah. Yes, honest people and people who are creative and stuff like that. I absolutely believe that. So, yeah, you're never weak, Andy. You're
Thank
super
you.
strong.
I can
What are
face
you,
the day
Andy
now, Kimberly.
Superstar?
What'd
What
you
is
say? Oh, my name on Instagram is Andy Kindler Superstar,
Yeah.
right? And so one time I go to my messages and this guy, I don't know who he was, he's like, "You're not a superstar. You're like nothing." So obviously they didn't, if you don't get the reference to Jesus Christ Superstar and you think I'm being, who would seriously go, "I'm Andy Kindler Superstar. Oh, what are you saying, sir? You're saying you don't think I'm a superstar? Well, you are incorrect." I love that
Yeah, I
name.
mean, hello, you have been a guest on Start Me Up like multiple times.
Right,
That is
exactly.
full on superstar material.
Yes. And the other thing is I realized, and I tweeted this, I mean, I blue skied it and I realized it sounds self-conscious or self-serving. But I said, I have like whatever it is, 10,000 followers on Blue Sky. I said, if I'm not ha thrilled by what I have now, there's something wrong with me. Then the narcissistic gene goes through. Because if is really 15 million people means I'm a funnier person
Right.
than 10,000. So and then I realize, oh, this sounded very self-serving. So that's how I save everything, Kimberly. I come back and I go, who's this guy? People thought I was tweeting from a fake account. That just made me so
Really?
mad. Yeah,
Wow.
because I would comment on my own things.
Oh,
So they would
right.
go, "Oh, you forgot to do your burner account." I would say, "Andy's great. Andy, you go get him, Andy."
I want to start doing that. I want to start commenting on my own stuff. Kimberly
It's a
is
good thing.
great.
It's a good thing.
Oh my God. All right. Well, I guess I could talk to you all day long, but I think I have to let you go now and get back to all of my other jobs. I've got a million other jobs now, so I have to go do all of them
Cool.
as well. But it's always good talking to you, always. And I'm going to have you back on sooner than 2 years.
Yeah,
So,
whenever you want me to have a, the other thing I like about this is it seems easy.
yeah.
These are like easy, these are like fun.
Yes, that's what I aim for. And especially when I have someone on like you who is in the show business and
Thank you.
it's when I have
Just by saying I'm in show business. Thank you very much.
when I have superstars on, it's just kind of fun to talk about other stuff. Like, you know what I mean? It's like being bogged down in politics all day is very
Yes, we could
not
talk
fun.
about my Maseratis for
Next show,
hours.
we're going to talk all about your Maserati. All right, tell everybody where to find you.
I can be found at, don't go to my website. It's like 100 years old, and there's a, it has my dates from July 1993.
Okay.
But you could, I am addicted to blue sky now. Not
Yeah,
addicted.
me
I
too.
decided to put that it's a nice environment, not free of everything. So I think I'm Andy Kindler there,
Yeah, I think
and then
you
I'm
are.
Andy Kindler Superstar at Instagram, and that's all I think.
You're Andy Kindler at Blue Sky. All
Yeah.
right, well, I'm putting those at least the blue sky in the Patreon description of this show. And it's always a joy talking to you because you're wonderful and you're a superstar and we love you, Andy. Thank you so
Thank
much.
you, Kimberly. Have a great ever have a great everything.
You too. Bye-bye.
It's Sunday morning, and that wonderfully relaxed feeling of a long, lazy day lingers in the air. If you want to make the moment last, may I suggest the perfect solution? The Martin Sheen Podcast. Join me, your host, Martin Sheen, for beautifully crafted 20-minute programs filled with never-before-heard stories of my life, along with personal reflections and poetry that inspires. The Martin Sheen Podcast is the perfect Sunday refresh, a chance to take a deep breath, relax, and know that the stress of Monday may be just around the corner, but not here, not now. So make this your weekly moment of calm as we explore faith, hope, love, and what it means to be human. And know this, this journey is ever unfolding as I invite you to see what's next with me, Martin Sheen, and thank you.